Lord Jesus, we worship you. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you are the creator of all things, Lord, that you have created everything, Lord, for your own pleasure, Lord. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for all the good things in life. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your plan for our lives. Lord, we pray this morning, let your kingdom come in our lives. Let your will be done as we choose you. Amen. 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 Do sit down. Yes, at Sunbeams, there's a happy-looking person at the back called Liz. And so there is some Sunbeams upstairs for you. We had a wonderful time at Carity Wood, those that were there. Our theme for the week was Choose Jesus. And we were following through the story of Josiah. And so we had four different stories about Josiah. And we're going to be doing, over these next few weeks, we're going to be doing each of those stories on Sunday morning. So many of you children and teenagers will know some of this. And so this is for you to remember. And I might ask you one or two questions as we go along. And it's the most amazing story, the story of Josiah. And then on the last Sunday, we're going to do a bonus one, a fifth one that nobody knows about. So Choose Jesus was our theme. And choosing well is what we wanted to do. And we're going to look at the choices that we have to make and the choices that Josiah made. So Josiah, he was the boy who chose well. And Josiah had a family tree. Do you know what a family tree is? That's supposed to be kind of like a tree where it goes back to David, King David, all the way through the kings of Judah to King Hezekiah. And when we get to Hezekiah, we realize that Hezekiah was Josiah's great granddad. Do you remember that? And who was Hezekiah's son? Do you remember? The clue's on the screen. Hands up, yeah? Manasseh, that's right. And who was Josiah's dad? Edward? Amon or Ammon. Okay, that's great. So to start with, the beginning of this great dynasty was great-granddad Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was an amazing king. And the thing that we learn about Hezekiah was that he chose God. And it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he held fast to the Lord. And that's what we're talking about on this camp. We were holding fast to Jesus. And it says he didn't depart from following him all through his life, the many years that he lived. He did some amazing things. One that he did was that he had to clear the temple out of all the gods that his father had left there. And it took him 16 days to clear out the temple. And it says that he kept the commandments. And there's something that we have to remember about trying to get rid of gods in our lives. Things that take up a lot of our time. They could be the TV. They could be PlayStation. They could be sport. Many of these things are right, but they just take up too much time in our lives. And so it's not just putting those things aside or giving them their place. Unless we replace them with God himself and we have a good relationship with Jesus, we're never going to get rid of the false gods forever. And it says that he trusted the Lord. And one day the Assyrian army came down on the children of Israel, on Jerusalem. They surrounded the whole of the city. They were very fierce. Army. And instead of running off to the king of Egypt or another of the kings around for help, the Bible says Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He was a man of prayer. So when there was a problem, he went to God, not to Google, not to his mother-in-law, or to whoever it might be in your life, your mom or whatever. Why did I say mother-in-law? He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. And as a result of that, it says, that night the angel of the Lord went through the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 men in one night. And obviously the crowd dissipated and they went back and Jerusalem was saved because that king trusted in the Lord. It says, so there was none like him among all the kings of Judah. And the amazing thing, it says, so the Lord was with him. And though we had a wonderful time at Carroty Wood, and there was the swimming and the mud. By the way, we don't baptize people in mud here. It's not a new doctrine. Yes, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, but not baptism in mud. So we had a fun time, but actually it was great to hear how the children and young people, as well as the adults, were just enjoying Jesus and reconnecting with him. It's the most important thing, that the Lord is with us in a real way in our lives. And it says Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. It's funny how we measure success. God wants us to be successful. Who believes that? I believe that. But what is success? It's not always being top of the class. It's not always being best at sport. It's not being rich. It's not being the richest person in the world, being the most famous person. Although God does want to bring success to the things that we do. It's true. But how do you measure success? Just think about Jesus. Jesus was here as the image of God. And so all through his life, one of the things he had to do was to represent who God was like to those around him. And he was very successful in that. Another thing that Jesus had to do was that he had a purpose when he'd been baptized and filled with the Spirit had come down upon him. He went out and for 3.5 years, he preached the good news and he healed the sick. And when people tried to stop him, he said, "No, I must do this." And then he had to go to Jerusalem because he had another purpose for his life. And that purpose was to give his life as a sacrifice for us. He was to be the perfect Lamb of God. The only way his sacrifice on the cross was accepted by God was that it was perfect. And so he loved perfectly. He prayed perfectly. He obeyed perfectly. And then when he died, he was the spotless, blameless Lamb of God. And God accepted his death as a sacrifice for our sins. He was very successful, but it wasn't very glamorous, was it, dying on the cross? And then the Bible says on the third day, the Holy Spirit came into the grave and raised him from the dead, healed his body, raised him from the dead, and later he ascended into heaven where he is seated at the right hand of the Father today, totally victorious, triumphing over all his enemies, 100% successful. But maybe not in the way that we would count success. So you would have thought that Hezekiah's son would be a good man, wouldn't you? Manasseh, he had a fantastic example. So when we get to him, who's Josiah's granddad, Manasseh, Hezekiah's son, it says he chose evil. He chose evil. He didn't choose good. He didn't choose Jesus. He chose to do what was bad. And there's a lesson for us there. That no matter how good your parents are, how godly they are, you have to make a choice yourself. I have to make a choice. Every child, every teenager, every adult, even here this morning, we may have chosen Jesus at Carroty Wood, but we have to choose him today. We have to choose him tomorrow morning. We have to choose him tonight when we want to fight with our brother and sister. We have to choose Jesus. It says he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he rebuilt all the high places that Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. He brought all the false gods back into the temple. And do you think things went well for Manasseh? No. Things went badly for Manasseh. It says, therefore, the king of Assyria captured Manasseh. So the king of Assyria came, that same king of Assyria that had surrounded Jerusalem. I think it was the same king, but he came and he captured him. And it says that he bound him with hooks and chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. He actually put a chain through his nose. Can you imagine that? And they took him, they dragged him back to Babylon by the nose where he was imprisoned. And while he was there, an amazing thing happened in his life. It says Manasseh humbled himself greatly. And what do you think happened? God has a weakness for humility. For when people, no matter how bad they've been, no matter what they've done, if they humble themselves and they say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry that I have chosen evil. I'm going to choose what is good today. And God forgives us all our sins. And Manasseh was the worst king of all. The Bible says he literally filled Jerusalem with blood. There were children that were sacrificed. He really went the whole hog. It was so terrible, the things that he did. He was a terrible king. But yet, and this is good news for us, isn't it? Yet, when he humbled himself greatly before God, God forgave him. And what happened to him? It says his kingship was restored. The king of Assyria put that crown back on his head. He went back to Jerusalem. He started to smash up the idols. He restored the worship in Jerusalem. Amazing. And then he had a son called Amon. And what do you think Amon was like? Who was a character you would and can remind me? What about you, Cash, at the back? He wasn't very nice. No, he was a bad king, wasn't he? Josiah's dad, Amon, he chose evil. Despite his parents being good, he chose. And we have that choice to be bad. He did evil. What was it? In the sight of the Lord, he became king age 22. And he set about doing bad, getting all those gods and bringing them back into the temple. You know, it's all about these gods, isn't it? Do you find that in the Christian life? It's all about gods. It's all the things that we fill with our life. We've all got a big hole inside us. It's a God-shaped hole. And the devil wants to fill it with unimportant things and bad things. And so we have this battle all the time. This is a relevant story. He served the idols that his fathers served, and he worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers. And do you think things went well for him? Anybody remember? Did things go well for Amon? What do you think? What did you think, Daniel? They didn't go well, did they? Things went badly for Amon. Within a year? Within 2 years of his reign, he was such a bad king, his servants conspired against him, and they killed him. And there he is being carried out to his grave. They gave him a common grave. They were disgusted with him, horrified with him. But that left them with a problem, because the next king, the son of Amon, who was called Josiah, was only 8 years old. And age eight, who can tell me the memory verse? I'm not going to put it up there. Just hang on a sec. Why don't you three at the back stand up? And can you just try and shout it out? It starts with Josiah.
Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he did not turn aside to the right.
Very good. Phil, could you put that up there now? So why don't we all just read that out, shall we? Let's stand and read it. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. 2 Kings 22:1-2. Very good. You can sit down. Fantastic. And what did Josiah do? He opened his heart to God. And age eight, it says he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Who's 8 years old here today? Anybody eight? Yeah, one. There's two at the front here. That was the age he was. And he decided, I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't turn to the right. You know, we sang that, didn't we? He didn't turn to the left. That meant that he obeyed his mum. He was kind to his brother and sister. He did his homework. And I'm sure he, as a king, he had a lot of homework. In fact, I think they had to learn by heart several books of the Bible they had to learn, but lots of homework for him. It meant that he wouldn't lie, he wouldn't swear, he wouldn't steal, he wouldn't be a bully, he wouldn't go around with his bad friends. Josiah chose Jesus age 8 years old. And then something happened when he was 12 years old. 16. Why have I put 12 there? It's because I'm not very good with numbers, isn't it? I've never been good with numbers, but Jo has told me, I know she's right, it's age 16. Josiah chose Jesus when he was 16. Who is 16 here? Okay, we're not going to shame you. He began to seek the Lord. He began to actually make a deliberate effort to seek him. And then when he was 26, in the 18th year of King Josiah, he started repairing the house of the Lord. He started his life's work. He was serious about God. What does God want to do with your life? Does he want you to be really rich? Is that what you'd like to be? Would you like to be really famous? Would you like to be a celebrity? Would you like to be really good at sports? But God has got a plan for your life. And it could be, he's certainly got a plan for you in the church, in God's people, to serve people in different ways. And those ways are very important. So we want to start serving God and doing the thing that he wants for our life and seeking him, saying, God, what do you want for my life? And it says the Lord was with him and he was successful, like Hezekiah, in everything he did. At my school, we had, I became a Christian when I was 17 years old. I was more like Manasseh than Josiah to start with. But God, when I humbled myself and I asked Jesus to come into my life, he made a massive difference. And later that year, we had an evangelist come to school. He was a Church of England minister called David Watson. And that term, about 100 boys in the school gave their lives to Jesus. It was the most amazing time. And we started to seek the Lord for what he wanted in our lives. And I can tell you that all around the country, in different churches, different places, those boys have gone on, they've served God the whole of their lives in different ways and made a massive difference. Because when they were young, they said, God, what do you want with my life? It says, before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength. Josiah chose Jesus, skipping on a bit further, Phil. And I just want to ask the question this morning, who will you choose? Even today, you know, do you remember Joshua? He said, who will you serve today, he said. As for me and my family, he said, we will serve the Lord. What are you going to choose today? It could be that even when you went on Carroty Wood last week, you turned to God, but this week you've been tempted. You've realized how hard it is when you're around your friends and your family. And always Jesus is there to forgive us and to wash us with his blood and to give us a fresh start. But we begin to realize that we need his help. Who will we choose? It says he began to seek the Lord. I like that. He didn't finish seeking the Lord. It was just the beginning of a journey. So let's just stand, shall we, for a moment and pray. If the musicians want to come on, we're going to sing a song now that in just a moment that we sang on the camp. Joe found this. It's a golden oldie. You won't find it, you find it on YouTube, but it was just perfect for the camp, and it was, I choose you again and again. I choose you again and again. You mean so much to me, my Lord. I choose you again and again. It's really, really simple. And even on the Friday night, as we sang this, it was so beautiful watching all the adults and the children and the teenagers. They'd kind of forgotten any actions. They had their hands in the air and they were just lost in Jesus as they worshipped him. And they were saying right from the beginning, I choose you today. And that is real worship, isn't it? When we choose Jesus. So let's sing that now, shall we? Joe, do you want to maybe lead it?